So I said to Big Hair, why don't we take this supercars in review thing and go one more step and rate the drivers? To which he said, how? Well, here's how, Niv. It would be simple if we only had to measure one race, but we can't do that since most supercar weekends have more than one race. And this year, it's also been a battle of tyre life. So we have to look at the whole weekend as one picture, and that means one great race can be spoiled by poor effort in another. We also take into account the relative position of each team against the other. And that means that we're not saying Team Sydney is going to be Red Bull Racing Australia. So, how does it work? 10-point weekend would be perfect. Great racecraft, a sensational implementation of strategy, and scoring the best results possible for that car and that team. A 9 or 8's a very good weekend, barely putting a foot wrong on the way to good points haul, but little spots for improvement. 7 and 6 points is around a pass score, we think, with a few mistakes dragging the score down. 5 and below, there's room for improvement. And that is how the Supercars in Review ratings works.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the driver ratings for leg 2 of the Townsville event. I'm joined by Andrew Clark. How you going, Clarky?
Not too bad today, Nev. Just wondering how many people are going to be a bit grumpy with me after this, or maybe even a bit happy, but we'll see.
I've looked at your scores, and it's good. A few people aren't going to be happy with you for sure. But anyway,
well, even one of my favourite drivers is probably going to be a bit unhappy. So anyway, but I'm sure he will agree.
Well, he can get on our Facebook page and leave us a nasty comment. Okay, let's get started. Start with Alex Davison, Team Sydney. You've given you a rating of 8. That's not a bad score.
Not bad. He's one of the ones who's going to like me. I thought it was a really good weekend for him. He's, you know, got that 13th place finish on the first race of the weekend, and he qualified 13th in race 24. We know that car is not very good, and you can paint over it whatever way you like and gloss over the whole thing. It's not the best car in the field. So I thought, you know, 13th and a 15th in the final race wasn't a bad effort by him. Yeah, best for the year, and each week we're seeing a little bit more from him. So good effort, I thought.
So, yeah, it's been a good improvement. So I think that's his best all year, isn't it?
Actually, it is his best race result for the year.
Oh, okay.
13th spot. So, so it's getting there and, much better. When you look at his average, like he's averaging a finishing order of 19.4 for the year. So he's come in with a 13th place for that particular race weekend and an overall average of 15.7. So he's well up on his normal average. He's racing well. I mean, there were some really good dices we saw going on. He's improved his position on the race 22 and dropped back a little bit in the other two. But overall, I thought, much better effort.
His teammate, Chris Pither, he's just got a 6. What is it down to being a new dad? What is it?
Well, yeah, you do lose a 10th here and there when you haven't become a father, don't you?
That's what I'm hearing.
I don't know. He didn't look as good as he looked most of the year, so we can put that down to whatever. Could it be the flying visit to the Gold Coast to go and watch his wife or help his wife give birth, however the wives want to talk about it? Yeah, just lost a bit of his speed, I thought, and it wasn't his best weekend for the year. So, 6 sounds about right for me.
Well, Matt Stone Racing is our next team, and Gary Jacobson. You scored Gary Jacobson 7th, which I would have thought was a bit of a surprise. It's probably a point higher than what I thought after the balking debacle in the final qualifying session. But, hey, you got a 7. Yeah.
Well, he did, but he could have got an 8 if he hadn't done that. So, so that's where I was sitting on that. I did cut him a little bit because of that. I thought he raced really well again. Qualifying was... average. I mean, the 14th in the middle race for the weekend was pretty good. 15th, 17th and 20th for his three races. So it wasn't a bad weekend. So, 7 is probably a fair call. Whether I was going a bit soft to start with, I don't know. But 7 I thought was a good outcome. Good racing, I thought.
Well, his teammate, Jake Kostecki, he also got a 7.
Yeah, well, remember these guys, the Kostecki and Goddard pairing are jumping in and out of the car. So one week it's one week it's the other. So really, really hard job, I reckon, against the rest of the field that has that consistency. I know Matt Stone's got a theory behind why he's doing it this way. I think it's a pretty crazy way to run it if you want those guys to learn properly. you know, because they're behind the eight ball all the time. So I thought it was a pretty good weekend for him. I mean, 21.7 is his race average and 22.3 is qualifying average. So he's a little bit up in the races than on the qualifying. But, you know, what can you expect from a bloke who's only done four races for the year compared to the others who've done eight?
Well, next up is Kelly Racing. And first off the list is Andre Heimgartner. You scored him a six.
Yeah, I'm still trying to work out if I'm generous there, but we got him the six anyway. There's no speed in those cars at all. And when you've got problems like he had, you know, we had a spluttering car coming onto the grid for the race and then he missed the qualifying session and all sorts of things. So, yeah, really rough time going on at Kelly Racing. They haven't enjoyed this particular spell of 4 weeks on the road. But, you know, I'm not seeing anything from the drivers to say that they're blasting away and the car's letting them down too greatly. So Andre's a guy I like a lot. I think he's got a great future, but I want a bit more.
So you're saying the car's not a true reflection of his talent? Well, the results is not a true reflection of his talent because they're struggling with the cars?
Well, possibly, but the difference is that Rick Kelly, who's in the same car, has, you know, got a finishing average of 12.7 compared to Andre's 19.7. And Rick qualified, averaging qualifying, was lower than Andre's. So Andre could have raced harder. We could have got a bit more out of it, you know, and we could have got what Rick Kelly gave us, which was a 10-spot improvement and a 7-spot improvement and a 4-spot improvement over qualifying in his three races.
So Rick Kelly's also scored a sixth, and he's made some good grounds during the races, but he still only scored the same as Andre. Is that because Rick should have done that because that's his skill level?
Yeah, well, Rick is a champion of the sport, obviously. So he's got, you know, many years' experience, and I think we just need to see a little bit more from him in qualifying. Race-wise, you know, he's probably an eight on the racing, but probably only a four in qualifying. So, you know, you split the difference and you end up with a six.
Oh, okay. Next up is Team 18 and Mark Winterbottom. He scored a five. I think that's the lowest score anybody of the weekend.
It is, yeah, and it was a very lacklustre weekend, I thought, for Frosty. As I said, we early on, we've got shifting expectations on teams as they start to do more and more and more. The problem with this Team 18 is they've got no single lap speed, so they can't qualify very well. But what we didn't see from Frosty was we didn't see him picking up the same spots in the race as Scott Pye, you know. So, yeah, we did get a big improvement on the first race on Sunday, but the other two were just the two-spot improvements. So I wanted a lot more from him. And, you know, his finishing average is 12.0 and Scott Pye's is 6.7 in the same car. So expecting a lot more from a bloke like Frosty.
Or is it just a general punter? I just didn't see much of Frosty all weekend and didn't see much of the car. I know he's better than that, so, yeah, probably stands. So that brings us to Scott Pye. You scored him an eight.
Yeah, his racing was sensational. He just kept on passing people, you know. So he passed eight, well, finished up eight spots on his qualifying in the first race, five spots in the second race and 12 spots up in the final race. And he did win that inaugural Hard Charger Award for the first race. Strangely, he didn't get it for the third race, which I thought was probably even better. The single lap qualifying speed is really, really hurting them, but man, is he racing. Yeah, really good effort. Three top tens. So, you know, you can't complain.
I actually think he's progressed as a driver. He's definitely another level up from where he was last year. Now, this year's a bit of an anomaly with the old new COVID world order, but he's definitely shown that he's improved. He just seems more professional. It just seems more with it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's what I'm liking about his racing is that we're not seeing too many errors. We're not seeing him biffing and barging his way past. They're clean passes that he's getting done. And, you know, aside from folding a mirror here and there and, you know, the little touch-up he gave on Frosty, it was all pretty clean for him. So I just thought it was a pretty good effort around. And as you say, I think, you know, I've shifted my, what do you call it, not expectations, but my belief in him as a driver a little bit. And I'm pushing him a little bit further up the rankings overall than I had to start with.
Okay. B-Jars next off the list, four-car team. And first is Jack Smith. He scored a six.
Yeah, dropped back a little bit from last week, I thought. Last week we saw some really good signs. This week we just didn't see much at all. Again, he might be a victim of the fact that we're not at the tracks and can't watch what's going on enough, but I really just didn't see enough in terms of the race results or the lap times or anything to tell me that we were getting anything special. He did look like the couple of times they showed us in little clusters, little packs, battle packs. He was getting monstered by people. So, you know, he's got to learn to hold his ground a little bit more in that sense, I think.
Well, next is Macaulay Jones. You've given him a six. I thought that the good qualifying in race 23 might have given him an extra point.
Yeah, it might have, but the racing's letting him down still, I think. You know, you're 19th, 18th, 19th in the three races. So even though we've qualified, you know, in 12th for race 23, dropped six spots during the race. So, you know, getting one good qualifying effort and then losing it in the races is not going to help you at all. And he's in his second year, so we're starting to expect a little bit more from him than we are from Jack Smith.
Okay. Next, his teammate, Nick Percat. He's got an eight. He did pretty good all weekend. An eight, one pole and one front row start. It's not too bad.
Yeah, an eighth in the other one, which was the bit of the letdown. But he's, you know, his return was okay. We didn't see a podium this weekend, which was probably where I got a little bit disappointed. And, you know, Nick spoke after one of the races about his shifting expectations. You know, they're expecting to be more competitive. They're expecting to be up there. And we're starting to expect that of him as well. You know, finishing average of 5.7 over the three races is pretty good. And it's really only bettered, I think, by Wincup and Scott McLaughlin. So, you know, effectively he's third overall in the race for the weekend, but he didn't get a podium. So we can't really go any higher than eight on him.
It was surprising that Nick didn't get a podium. He had plenty of chances. But it brings us to his teammate, Todd Hazelwood. He also scored an eight. I know he's qualified on pole for the last race, but was he as good as Nick, you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. That Saturday race when he was at the back of the field after the opening lap, to finish 12th in that race was just magnificent. I thought it was a really good race, clean race. The only question mark that sits in my head was, you know, was it really a clutch problem or did he stall it? And if he stalled it, I'd easily whip another point or two off him for that. But we've got to go with what the team's telling us and that it was a clutch error. So, you know, I thought his racing was really good in the first and the third races. The car is good, but it's just a little bit off those Shell and Red Bull cars. So, yeah, eight's a good one for him.
Yep, the stall, the fight back from the stall on the grid, that was pretty impressive. Okay.
And he could have got an extra point just for the celebration for the pole. I mean, you know, how happy was he?
Yeah, he was over the top. It was great. It's great to see that.
I've never seen someone burst their helmet with joy.
Next up is Welcome to Andretti United and Bryce Fullwood. You've scored him a seven. What, his Sunday first race wasn't that good. How did he get the seven?
Well, he didn't really make too many errors. I'm looking at those two scores for these two guys and I could have got it wrong a little bit by the look of it. But, we've gone with a seven. I just thought it was an okay weekend, you know, so just a little bit above average but not too high.
A steady weekend is what I've got down here.
Yeah, it was a steady weekend. Remember, he is learning. He's effectively a first-year full-time driver. So, you know, we've got to have the expectations sitting at that level. He's not Chas Mostert yet. You know, will he be? Who knows? But he's not there yet because it is his first season.
So next is Chaz. He also scored a seven. Is that because his Sunday race, the first one, it was a bit average. Is that because of his qualifying for that race?
Absolutely. And the qualifying performance was all down to him, I thought. It was just a really scrappy lap that he did and it punished him badly. So 13th on the grid. The car is better than we expected probably at this stage of the season. But, you know, it's not good enough for him to start charging through packs like Shane Van Gisbergen did. And so he only got the three-spot improvement over that course of that race. So really punished quite heavily for that qualifying effort, the same way we did to Scott McLaughlin last week.
Okay. Next on the list is Anton Di Pasquale from Erebus Motorsport, or Penrite Racing Team. You've scored him a six. Is that because of his contact with the wall? He's off?
No, not really. I mean, you're going to break components at times on street circuits and, you know, everybody else was probably hitting the curbs at the same rate he was hitting them. They were hitting them the same angles, all those sort of things. His car was the one that decided to break. I'm not really getting stuck into him too much over that. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to avoid the curbs if you can, but you do need to get the speed out of the car, which means hitting curbs. So Maury's rating was because that qualifying performance for race 23 was just, you know, was right down the back end, which was, you know, didn't turn a lap. But, you know, we've got 16th and 23rd in two of the races, which, for a guy who's now a race winner and I think is now effectively the leader of that team on the track, we wanted a little bit more out of him and, you know, just expect that from him.
Well, I'm surprised that his teammate Dave Reynolds also scored a six. I would have thought he would have been lower considering where he finished in the races.
Yeah, in hindsight, you could be spot on. And, you know, we could say he was a five, which is exactly what I'm doing right now.
Okay, well, here we go. Faces, satellites again, hooking up. Okay, five.
I know. But we do have a DNF in the first race from the power steering failure, which doesn't help. But, you know, 15th and 11th in the other two races. And we've got a, you know, 10th, 9th and 19th in qualifying. So I'm a bit worried about Dave and where his head's at the moment. I want to see a bit more of that hunger that he's shown in the past. That said, Bathurst's coming and he comes alive there. So let's see what he can do when we get to Mount Panorama.
Okay. Next up is the second four-car team, so to speak, and that's Tickford Racing. And first up is Cam Waters. He scored a seven.
Yeah, I thought the whole team overall didn't perform that well this weekend. You know, they should be the ones knocking on the door of the Red Bull Shell pairings, and they're not. Cam was all right, you know, second and a fifth, but 12th on Sunday was last race on Sunday was just a bit so-so, a bit average. And if he'd done a little bit better in that last race, he probably would have got an eight because, you know, he's showing good speed. He's putting it all together in qualifying mostly, and the racing's good and clean, but, you know, you can't have one poor race over a weekend and expect to get a really good score.
He finished 12th in the final race. He dropped six spots from his qualifying position. Where do you think he should have finished to get another point?
Well, I think he should at least finish where you qualified.
True.
You know, he should have finished about the sixth and he would have been an eight for the weekend. But you got to measure people. Like, qualifying is so important in this category that, you know, matters so much. And if you drop away from your qualifying performance to your races, then, you know, that's just not acceptable because you're just giving up spaces that you had fought for with speed.
Well, next up is his teammate Jack LeBrock, and he also scored a seventh. Well, that was an improvement on last week.
Yeah, he was average last week, wasn't he? You know, we got qualified inside the top 10 in all three races, which is good for him. We didn't see that last week, and we got two finishes in the top 10. So it was a bit more of a bounce back from him after the highs of Darwin. So, yeah, a bit better and coming back on form a little bit, so happier with that. Seven, I think, is a pretty fair call for him in that sense. If he'd got a top 10 in that final race instead of 14th, he probably would have got the eight as well.
Well, next up, teammate James Courtney. I expected more from James, so I kind of agree with your score, six.
Yeah, we are expecting a lot more from him now. I mean, he's had a few races now with the team. He should be settled. We should be starting to see him regularly getting up the nose of the field. And we didn't get that this weekend at all. So I thought it was just an okay weekend for James, and six is an okay score, isn't it?
Well, I think it's fine. I mean, you know, it's pretty average.
Means you keep your job. Keep your job with a six.
Well, he's the last of the Tickford guys is Lee Holdsworth. He also got a six.
He was in Townsville, I'm sure.
That was it. I saw him a couple of times.
I know. Lee is a terrific driver and a terrific bloke. And I think he's just struggling with something at the moment. So whether there's a problem with his car, whether there's a problem with the cars in general there, I'm not sure. But I'm not seeing any of that outright brutal speed that he's got. So, he just needs to pick his game up a little bit, I think.
Well, it brings us down to the final two teams. And the first one is Red Bull Racing, Jamie Wincup. He scored a seven.
Yes, and people might think that's harsh when you finish fourth, third and second in the three races.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. What's the deal there?
Well, you're qualifying seventh, fifth and fifth, and you're being soundly thumped by your teammate in two of the three races and probably would have been beaten by him in the first race if he hadn't had that power steering problem. So I expect a little bit more. I expected to see a pole or a race win over the weekend. And to me, seven means you performed at about average, and I thought it was an average kind of weekend for Jamie.
Well, next up is Shane van Gisbergen, and he bangs in a nine.
Yeah, could have come away with three race wins, I reckon. He was in fine form in that first race when the power steering pump let go. Certainly would have been on the podium, so we would have had at least three podiums from him. So really, really hurt in that process by that failure. But, you know, that qualifying effort on Sunday was average as well. So you got a 12th position on the grid in qualifying. And, yes, he won the race. There was a bit of luck in enabling him to win the race. I think if the safety car hadn't come out when it did, he probably would have struggled to get through all of those people and get up to the front of the field. So he was a bit lucky. But the great thing about motorsport is that when opportunities present, you've either got to take it or not. And with Shane Van Gisbergen, you know, if there's a little sniff and there's a little door, he's going to stick his nose in and he's going. And he did that. And, you know, there was a bit of wrath thrown his way from people who were upset or whatever. But, you know, he's a racing driver and he was racing hard.
I
thought he was the best driver of the weekend. But you can tell the class, like, if he can do what he did to Scott McLaughlin, you know, just deciding to push him wide enough to allow Jamie through, that's the guy who's in full control of what he's doing. Now, you might not like what he did ethically, and I'm not a big fan of it ethically, but, you know, at the end of the day, he did it and he was capable and he did it all without hitting him. You know, it could have ended in disaster when you're trying to play games like that, but he didn't. And as I say, he was the class of the field, even though he's only got that 23rd from the first race.
Well, that brings us to the last two drivers at DJR. Fabian Coulthard is the first one up, and he scored a 6. I tell you, he was lucky to get the 6, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll call him now Scott's plus one.
Oh!
We've got to do a lot better than that. He should be up there contending, and it's leaving Scott to the wolves. So when things aren't going right, there's no one there to help him or protect him, and I think that's costing him quite badly at the moment. That said, you know, he is still leading the championship and he's comfortable out front. But, you know, you need some more help from your teammate. And, you know, if you're going to qualify 12th, 16th and 14th when your teammate's qualifying 1st, 2nd and 10th, that's just not good enough.
Well, I see it more that the team's championship for DJR is being let down because Fabian isn't getting the results.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something else that'll cost, you know, be looked at very much at the end of the year. And I think, you know, Fabian's got to perform better or he's going to be under a bit of pressure to keep his job there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, last one up, Scott McLaughlin, and you give him an 8.
Yeah, and people will probably question that given that he beat Shane Van Gisbergen on points, et cetera, over the course of the weekend. Why did he get 8 instead of a 9? And it's a couple of factors in here. One was that Shane possibly would have beaten him for the round if it hadn't been for that power steering pump problem. But I think Scott was starting to think championships rather than races. And, you know, he admitted afterwards that it was all about risk and reward on that, you know, first lap when Shane Van Gisbergen stuck his nose up the side. And Scott's already thinking, I don't want to get damaged. I want points. I want points. So that left him vulnerable to someone like Shane Van Gisbergen. So that part of it was one issue that, you know, he's not racing, or when his car wasn't spot on or anything, he wasn't racing as hard as he has done because he's thinking points. And I thought his little bit of a sook after race 3 was a bit ordinary as well. So, you know, I think, smile, mate, you came 3rd, you extended your championship lead, let the public work out whether they liked it or not. You don't have to actually get involved. So 8 for him. And, you know, it would have been 9 if he was just bit more attacking.
Well, let's go through the accumulated points for our ratings. The top 10, Scott McLaughlin's on 59, Jamie Wincup's on 55, Nick Perricat is in 3rd position on 55, Chaz Mostert is in 4th on 53, Shane Van Gisbergen is on 51, Cameron Waters on 50, Mark Winterbottom's on 49. In 8th is Scott Pye on 47. Lee Holdsworth on 46. And Andre Heimgartner also on 46 in 10th position.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that even through it all, yeah, you've still got that gap up the front, you know, being or maintained. It was actually extended because Jamie, I thought, had a pretty average weekend across the board. Surprise for me, if you went said at the start of the season, I would not have guessed that Nick Perricat would be sitting in 3rd at the moment.
It's pretty good, actually.
Great effort, yeah. It's great to see.
Okay, Clarky, thanks for that. I just wanted to take this opportunity to let everybody know that early next week we'll have our preview for the Bend, the first leg of the Bend doubleheader. Join us for that. Other than that, thank you, Clarky. Appreciate the information. And listeners, thank you for joining us.